Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rudog Reyes on the RudogShow.com. This is great, and I'm going to tell you why. Not only is it my show, but it belongs to all of you, and here to share his feelings, his background, where he's been, how he's been able to get to this point, is a guy that you don't want to say his name three times too fast because you may end up being really confused. And in our pre-conversation, I asked him how to do it. I broke it down in syllables. So with that being said, Osa Igbinosun, defensive end, Ball State. Did I get it right, Osa?
Say you got it right.
Wow, there you go. A feather in the hat for the day. So welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on. I know that it's a draft year for you. Obviously, you have some interest from a lot of NFL teams. I'm sure non-NFL teams have expressed interest in you also.
Yes, sir.
However, what we're looking at here, Osa, is a path that you've laid out for yourself. And tell me how you've gotten to this point in 7 words. We'll start there.
God, faith, family, belief, consistency, and also I would say hard work and belief again. I always believed in myself from day one, so.
Well, you're not the only one who believes in you, because after watching your film, I'm a believer too.
Yes, sir.
I'll be completely honest with you. I've seen your work ethic. I've watched your workout films.
Yes, sir.
But numbers and film study, that's only part of the story. It doesn't tell anything about who you are as a person. You could be the Johnny Manziels on stage and throw the money sign and play completely horrible like Johnny Manziel has.
Right.
But that's not the case for you. Let's go a little bit backwards here. In high school, you were in three letters?
I got three letters at Broadway. That's correct.
Okay. Under Coach Mobley.
Yep, Gary Mobley.
I heard a lot of great things about Gary Mobley. And, of course, you're calling somebody who is not even from the MAC conference. When I think of MAC, I think of mac and cheese. But the Ball State Cardinals are no cheesy centerpieces around the dinner table. You guys are solid.
Yeah.
And you played solidly. You've been able to not only exit high school with 98 tackles, 16 for loss, 12 as a senior. You set a school record for 6 for loss, including 4 sacks as a senior. We're just talking high school. This is just a starting point here. You're selected to New Jersey North-South All-Star game.
Yep.
You're the most valuable player in the New Jersey game. Second-team All-State. You earned first-team honors. Super 100 selection. I mean, and the list is, I don't have enough time to go over the list because there's so many things to kind of pinpoint and say, well, Osa, you've been here, you've been there, but what have you done since? Well, the numbers speak for themselves also. Here you are as a freshman playing 12 games. You had the Beef O'Brady's Bowls state game, which makes you kind of hungry to think of beef, but the only thing beefy about that game was how you played. You recovered your first career fumble versus Northern Illinois, and you earned a first letter. First, let's talk about your high school experience.
Right.
Were you able to acquire the skill set from an early age, and it was recognized by a coach? Did your dad recognize it? Who was it that helped point you in the right direction during high school?
Well, in high school, pretty much freshman year of high school is my first year playing football. My mom and dad, they didn't want me playing until I at least reach high school. So, all my brothers, we played under Coach Mobley. So I would say the first person was able to acquire and see the skills and, the future I had in myself was Coach Mo. He allowed me to, work on my craft and, show me the little things that was going to separate me from the high school pack, that was going to separate me so that, I could be noticed by college scouts and whatnot. So I would say it was Coach Mobley.
Well, it takes one person to help guide you there, but it also takes a group of individuals, which you played with while in high school. You had a very solid line to back up what you were already egging on into such a positive high school tenure that it rolled over as a freshman And you earned so many awesome stats. Again, the list is exponential. The single game highs, for example, you had 7 at Bowling Green in 2014. You had 1 sack at Massachusetts. At Bowling Green, you had 1. You had 2 tackles for loss versus Massachusetts. You recovered a fumble, which is tied for 4th in your respective conference. And it continues there. What do you attribute to that? And I know Coach Mobley helped you. He helped get you into the next level. But what was it about your faith that helped you get to that next level, along with what was already being instilled in you? You were told that you can do this.
Tell me. Pretty much it wasn't always like, always gravy. A lot of people, didn't believe in me because when I got to high school, I was just this raw athletic, tall Nigerian dude who was just physical, that had no technique, and then, as I progressed, I got better. And then when I went to college and whatnot, my faith in God really saw me through with a lot of the trials and tribulations I had, as well as my strong family background. So, my brothers, they all went through it. So, anytime I had troubles or whatnot, or, I didn't know the next step, I could always talk to my brother or whatnot. And anytime where I had doubt, I was always praying. So, with those two combined, I just felt as if I wouldn't be stopped. God saw me through, and I had a family background to help me out. So with those two combined, it kind of helped me through to the man and to the point I'm in life right now. So that's what I really, point the finger at and say, okay, this is my foundation right here. This is what really truly saw me through. This is what got me to this point in my life.
Well, your brothers helped also. Now, don't forget, anybody who's listening, scouts, you should know this, that his older brother, Ike, played at Southern Connecticut, played for the Bills, Jags, Cowboys, and Titans. So there is some NFL lineage we're talking about here. But he's not his brother. He's his own person. So you can't make that mistake. So growing up, you always wanted to be like your 4 older brothers. You saw them exit the house. They all went to play college football. And they knew what they wanted to do, which helped in turn give you the mindset, the desire, the passion, the drive, and knowing what you wanted to do. What was the actual turning point for you to say, this is what I want to do?
I would say the turning point was when I realized how good I could be, and that was around my senior year. It was towards the very end, the very last games. We're playing, I think, North Plainfield, and we had lost them in the semifinals before the championship game. And I just remember at that point, I never felt emotion like that before in my life. I was really hurt by, something I put so much time and work into, to just be let down like that. I just promised myself that, I love this sport, I love this game, and, I really can't see myself doing anything else. And when I realized that I could be a really good player in this game, I decided to dedicate a lot of time towards this and, truly make this a breathing part of my life. It's something I truly strive for, something that's embodied in me, the sport of football, so.
Well, based on that, it just seems that it's who you are. And for the first time in your life, you'd recognized it. You knew what you wanted to do. And that helped you get your defensive MVP in your senior year in the North-South New Jersey game. And what helped kind of explode you onto the scene, as if somebody dropped a bomb on Fork Union Military Academy and said, this guy's here to stay.
Right.
And he's going to make an impact while he's here,
right?
Which you did. So what was it about Ball State? I mean, what was the transition? What were you thinking when Ball State was calling and you wanted to answer? What led you to answer the door?
Well, the thing with Ball State was really two coaches that, really drew me in. Was my defensive line coach at the time, Coach Wilt. He showed me just different aspects of the game. This was during my recruiting process. He showed me different aspects of the game that I didn't even know about. He used to teach me different things that when I put it together, I just realized, okay, if we can make this work, if I could play for this man for the next 4 years, things could go really well for me and things could go really well for him. And, he took the coaching job offer down in Maryland my sophomore year. But just the things I learned from that man is really still carrying me on till this day. And another coach that really drew me into Ball State was my strength and conditioning coach, Coach Feely. Just with him and just the emotion he brought towards the recruiting process, and, you know, him being very straightforward, him being a New Jersey native too. You know, I just saw that as being a good collaboration on how I could work within the weight room, and I kind of know what he's expecting out of me. You know, being a Jersey kid, if you always got that stigma, we always got that chip on our shoulder that we feel as if we're better than other people, which isn't necessarily true, but it's a Jersey kid type of thing. So, you know, I knew if I was going that weight room every day, he was going to expect the best out of me, and I was going to give him my best. So,
well, it seemed like you committed to not only Ball State, but you committed to the work ethic. You committed to understanding not only your own expectations and how to achieve those, but you recognize that the coaches also had their expectations for you. But what's interesting is that you didn't allow that to affect you.
Awesome.
What you did is you allowed that to enhance you,
sure,
to give you the extra mile, to allow you to not only experience the college life at its best and its worst, obviously, because you have both at college.
Yes, sir.
And so you were able to stay away from all the hoopla, and not even old enough to use that word hoopla, but you stayed away from all the issues,
right,
all the problems that came with being at college. You kept your nose to the grindstone.
Yep.
If I was to call your high school coach, just as an example,
mm-hmm,
and I asked him, and I said, Coach Mobley, tell me about an experience where you really had to shake Osa loose to get him to understand what you were trying to relay, what would he say?
Typically like an actually detailed situation on when he had to pretty much attack me on something I kept on doing wrong. I would say it would be, I think it was when I was playing tight end. There was a package in for me where it was like a tight end dump pass where I was supposed to do like 7 yards or something and then turn around. And me thinking I was Superman, I always keep on trying to run past the safety and whatnot, not doing the design play route. And he kind of pulled me aside and he just like, he put me in my place, you know, pretty much just told me that, you know, it's a team game. You're not the only man out there. You ain't the only kid out there. By you doing what you want out there freelancing, you messing up this and that. And pretty much he was like, if you do that again, like, honestly, you don't have to play for me. I'll just put you on a bench, and you can ride a bench for the next 3 years. So, you know, when he told me that, it just kind of put things in retrospect that, okay, this sport is truly a team sport. You know, it's not just about me. It's kind of it's a team thing. I can't be stubborn and whatnot. I got to lock in and do what's best for me. So that's really the main things that truly, you know, focused me into the path I am today. So,
well, it didn't help that you were a major in exercise science. So I'm sure that there had been some type of off-season conditioning that you already knew in advance you were going to experiment with to help give you the extra as you go into the 2014 season, which, by the way, you had played in 8 of those games. You earned a second letter. Right. You career-high 7 tackles season finale at Bowling Green. Right. Everybody knows what Bowling Green. When I think of Bowling Green, I think of going bowling. You managed 4 no tackles in Massachusetts. Right. You recorded your first career sack at UMass. Uh-huh. You added one more at Bowling Green. Again, more information. I mean, you had a tackle for loss at Army. You managed a career a high 2 in Massachusetts. He had registered a tackle for loss in 4 straight games, which you appeared during the season. But my question is this. Were those starting roles in those tackle for loss situations?
Towards the end of the season, the last 8 games of my junior year, yes, it was a starting package where it was like they had me in a lot of the interior nickel stuff. So that's why on film you see me at the 3-tech position. So like on 2nd and longs, 3rd and longs, I'll be coming off the bench, whatnot, or I'll be rotating with the other end at the time, who was Jonathan Newsome. You know, right. So I'll be rotating with him. And a lot of the times it was more of interior pass rush packages that they put me in, like the dime packages, nickel packages. And my senior year, you know, the whole injury thing that happened, and that kind of derailed me from playing too much my senior year. But for the most part, it was starting packages for me.
It seemed like it, and they figured it out during those 8 games that we need to start this guy. If we don't start him,
right,
we're going to have some defensive holes, and it's not going to be pretty.
Right.
We're going to be ran all over. We're going to be passed all over, and it's just going to be ugly. So they recognized your talent not only in your, you know, freshman, your, you know, your 2013, your sophomore, you played against Miami. What was it about your time at Ball State that's most memorable for you, and what do you believe you learned there that will transition over into the NFL?
My most memorable time at Ball State was during the summer conditioning in my senior year. I was 255 pounds at the time, and I remember I just truly I put into my mindset that I take myself as far as I want to go. If there's something I want in life, you know, is ultimately up to me and the grace of God, if he planned it out for me, that it's up to me to go get it. So I remember my senior year, the first conditioning practice, I came in 255, but I was in good shape and everything. And, you know, our coach at the time, Coach Feely, our strength coach, he called up different position groups to do conditioning. It was skill time, mid-skill time, and big time. So usually DNs, linebackers, and whatnot, they run the mid-skill. But I put it to myself that the entire summer condition, I was going to run with the skills. So I lined up right next to my friend Jordan Williams when Coach Feely called up skill time. And I remember people was looking at me like all crazy, like, yo, what's this dude doing? You know what I'm saying? He's trying to run with the skill players. He only got such and such seconds to make it past the line. And I remember I was running and running and whatnot. And, you know, I was beating them. You know, we had 31 110s. It's pretty much when you run the football field 110. It's pretty much when you run 110 yards 31 times. Mm-hmm. So I was beating them the entire time. Each round, just beating them. You know, that pretty much just started off my summer. And then ever since then, it was history. You know, track, anything. When he's on the track, when he's lifting weights, I was going the hardest and whatnot. And it was really just a mindset, you know. So I just put that in my mind that if there's truly anything I want in life, and if there's truly anything I want to get in football, it all really comes down to the mindset. It's all about what you want out of it. So, you know, if I demand more out of myself, I'm going to get more. So I feel as if I transition that mindset over to the NFL, the next level, and I stay humble, you know, if God has it planned out for me, things should go well.
As they should, and as I suspect, because when you're looking at the kind of talent that's out there, you know, the guys from the big flashy, you know, colleges, right, and the Ohio States and the Iowa States and all of those, and don't get me wrong, they're fantastic colleges, but what you may end up finding is that the hunger and passion in some instances is not there.
Yeah.
And when it's not there, the guys such as yourself are overlooked. Commonly, very, very commonly. So I could only see greatness for you from a defensive standpoint, being able to stop the run, being able to get off the quarterback, understanding nickel packages, understanding where you need to be in a 3-4, 4-3, or a cover 2, or wherever. Yeah. You seem to be very adaptable, and obviously in the MAC conference proves to be a positive for you.
Right.
So definitely on the right track there. And I can only imagine where you're going to be within the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. So I can only hope any scouts that are listening right now, I really suggest strongly, and I almost plead with you, that if you don't check out Osa Igbinosun, you're going to miss out on somebody that's going to give you stability on the defensive line. He's going to be your pass rush nightmare to opposing quarterbacks, is very skilled, very intelligent, very articulate, and can digest any playbook that he gets his hands on. So I really suggest you check him out, pull him in, call him, contact his agent, email me. My information is on my website, therudogshow.com. And I see great things for you, Osa. Appreciate, I really that, honestly do.
Appreciate it, boss. Appreciate,
yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And if there's anything else I can do for you, please feel free to reach out. I'd be more than happy to assist you. With that being said, again, last point for NFL scouts. If you haven't contacted Osa, I strongly suggest that you do, because you'll be pleasantly surprised as to what he can offer, not only in the locker room, but on the field as well as off. So, hey, Osa, I really appreciate your time. I
appreciate that, Rudy. Yes, sir.
Absolutely, man. Anything I can do for you, let me know. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Osa Igbinosun. Don't try to say that too fast. So get the proper spelling at therudogshow.com along with the interview. It'll be posted there and on SoundCloud. So with that, this has been Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on therudogshow.com.